We welcome each and every one of you to Grace Bible Church this morning. It's so good to see you in the Lord's house today. We want to begin this morning with our call to worship. And I'm taking our passage this morning from Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah responded to a message. There were three things that were involved in the message that he heard. Number one, then verse 3, it says, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction. You know, many times we have a tendency to connect Nehemiah only with the rebuilding of the wall. But Nehemiah was charged with something more important, and that was rebuilding of a people. I think sometimes our commentators spend a lot of time talking about the building of the wall and very little time talking about the building up of the people. The reason that Nehemiah wept was not that the walls had fallen down, because he had known that for years. Nehemiah knew of the condition of the walls of Jerusalem. What he was concerned about was the condition of the people back in Jerusalem. And I want us, as we gather together in the Lord's house today, we have with us Brother Ram Ribeiro, and his ministry is reaching out to the people of Brazil. Our ministry is to reach out to the people of Milton. I wonder how often we weep over the condition of the people. I have a feeling that we don't very often. Nehemiah was moved when he found out that the people of the land of Israel that were living in Jerusalem at that time were in a bad way. They were not following God. They were not worshiping God. There were all kinds of issues and things that were taking place, and his heart was moved because of that. And I pray this morning that our hearts will be moved, not only to think of the people of Brazil, but to think of the people of Milton, to think of those that we come in contact during the holiday season. We're around family and friends, those that we haven't seen for a year or so. And I wonder if we're moved beyond just getting reacquainted again after a year, but also the condition of their hearts. Oh, do we weep over the condition of souls? Nehemiah did, and what an example to our hearts this morning. We want to take our hymn books and begin our service by turning to number 249. Number 249, we'll stand together as we sing, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Let's stand together as we sing 249.
Father, Thou art indeed our help from ages past, and Thou art our help today. We know from Your holy word that You'll never leave us nor forsake us if we're in Thy fold. And I pray, Father, that as we have gathered together, perhaps there is one or two or several here that are out of the fold of God. And I pray, Father, that as they hear and open up their ears, that you would plant in their heart, Father, a desire to be saved, a desire to know Christ, a desire to receive Christ as their Savior. Father, for we are lost unless we know the Savior that you provided. And we pray, Father, for those that they would hear today the Word of God and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, we thank you so much for the Riberos being here today, and we do pray, Father, for this work that you've called into being in Brazil. We're thrilled, Father, to see the good news that Ram has presented to us, the churches that have been established, all of the folks that come. Every time the doors are open, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless as you have so abundantly in these past 20 years. And Lord, do bless the Riberos as they travel and as they continue their furlough here in the United States, and also the schoolwork that our brother is doing. Do bless him and help him to be successful in that. And bless the churches, Father, that are established down there. May they grow and prosper. May they see folks coming to the Savior. And may other churches be established. We're so thankful, Father, that you've been faithful, that you gave him a vision so long ago, and that vision is being established. Lord, we thank you so much for this ministry you've raised up here. Help us, Lord, to be a lighthouse, not only in this community, but around the world through our missions and through the support of our missionaries through the internet. We thank you, Father, for those that listen to the messages all the way in various parts of the world. And we pray your blessings upon them today as they listen to what is to come. And Father, we're so thankful, Father, that you've given us a place to grow up and to live in this country. And we pray, Father, oh, how this country needs your help. We are in dire straits, Father, and we look to thee for help. We look to thee as our deliverer, our rock, our fortress, in the place in which we can hide. But Lord, as we hide, help us to look up, for we know that your redemption draws nigh, and help us to look for thy wonderful coming. Bless those in authority, Father, over us. We pray for our president. We pray for those in Congress. We pray, Father, for our governors, our legislators, those that make the rules, those that make the laws. Help them, Father, to make wise laws that we could continue preaching and teaching the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless those that are in the armed forces today, Father. Help them to know Christ is their Savior as they protect us in the air and the sea and on the land. And may they prosper, Father, in thy word. Lord, bless us now in the service to come. May we be attentive, Father. May we not think about the things that we have to do tomorrow or the next day. But Lord, help us to focus our minds and our hearts on that which is said, that you can do a work in our hearts and that we might grow thereby. Help us not to waste the time, but to redeem the time. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's continue to sing as unto the Lord. Number 406. Number 406. Do you really want revival? Do you really want God's power? 406.
Thank you.
us turn together now to number 620. 620, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. We're so thankful to the Lord for the opportunity we have to have Rom Ribeiro with us today. We've known Brother Rom for many, many years, and the Lord has used him in a remarkable way in missionary endeavors in Brazil, and he is a tremendous preacher of the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that they could be with us today. They originally talked about possibility of coming in February, but because of our meetings with Dr. Bill Hall, we weren't able to work that out, and so they agreed to come a little earlier. And so we look forward to what God has laid upon Brother Rahm's heart this morning to share from God's Word. Brother Rahm, would you come?
What a blessing to be back to Grace Bible Church. Every time I'm here, I am blessed by the way you sing, by the way you play your instruments, by your pastor. He's a humble man, and I learn a lot with him because of that. And of course, this church is very consistent, and I like that too in a church. Consistency is everything, right? We sinners, we are very consistent in sinning. But we Christians, we should be consistent about loving Jesus and allowing Him in His Word to change our lives and to do what He pleases. And it's hard to come to this conclusion that God has the right to do what He pleases in our lives. And sometimes we are afraid of that, aren't we? What does He want from me? What is He going to do to me if I surrender my will and my life completely into His hands? When I was a teenager and God had called me to be a missionary, a few times I came to Him and I said, Lord, if You want, You can call me to be a missionary among the Indians in the Amazon, but please don't do that. If You want, You may, but please don't do that. I don't want to live in the jungle. I do not want to catch malaria. But aren't we afraid of His will sometimes? So may God help me never to be afraid of Him. And may God help each one of us never to be afraid of Him. Now, 20 years passed by. I am 20 years more mature. I'm 20 years older than I used to be when I first came here some years ago. Yes, I know I'm growing older. But have you noticed that in spite of that, I don't have many gray hair? People ask me, what's the secret? Perhaps I have some Indian blood and I don't know about it. I don't know the secret, but in Brazil, some of our folks, they accuse me of dyeing my hair. And I have to tell them, I do not dye my hair. I'm not against it. I know a bunch of ladies that do. And I know some men that do, but I don't. And now I have some 3 or 4 gray hair here around my forehead to prove that I don't dye my hair. And some people say, well, you dye the back of your hair. I don't dye my hair, I promise. Another problem that I'm facing after 20 years is that people are calling me now a veteran missionary. Now, that word veteran missionary sounds old, doesn't it? Rahm Ribeiro is a veteran missionary. And then they ask me questions such as, what's the key to grow the ministry? What's the key to have a successful ministry? To have a church planting ministry? And I'm not against education. I'm receiving education to this day. Pastor and I went to a school that gave us good education. But the answer to this question is not in a college, is not in a major, it is not in a course. If you want to know how to grow the ministry, if the ministry is God's, you find the answer in the Bible. You find the answer in the Word of God. That's where I have found the answer in the last 20 years about the ministries that we have in Brazil. Here in Matthew chapter 14, We have the story of the 5,000 fed by Jesus. And this was a miracle of multiplication. Not only 5,000, but we believe more than 15,000 people were fed by Jesus with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Isn't that amazing? Jesus was able to multiply 5 loaves of bread and feed close to 15,000 people. It was a miracle, and it's known as the miracle of multiplication. But what we need to keep in mind is that this miracle happened immediately after a very sad moment in Jesus' life. He had lost his closest friend and cousin, John the Baptist. So Jesus was very sad within himself. And yet, the Bible shows us that he was able to look around and see the needs of others. He was able to forget about his problems, his own feelings, his own disappointments, and he was able to see the needs of other people. And the Bible says in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 14, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." And you know the rest of the story. He not only healed their sick, but he fed their hunger. There were hungry people there, and he was able to supply their hunger. So Jesus teaches us that the secret to multiplication is to be able to look around us and see the needs of other people. He was in the desert, probably trying to pray to God or just trying to rest, but thousands of people followed him from a great distance. And they were without food. They were without medicine for their physical needs. There were elderly people, children, and women there with the multitude. And Jesus cared for each one of them. So before the miracle, we see that Jesus cared for those people. We still need the miracle of multiplication in our days, don't we? Not of fish, not of bread, but we need to see more people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about the old good days. Remember 700 preacher boys in our class singing "Souls for Jesus is our battle cry." Remember that song? "Souls for Jesus is our battle cry." But we are not seeing that any longer. My pastor used to preach from Sunday through Sunday, and dozens of people were saved during the week. He told me he doesn't see that happening anymore. But I tell you, although this is not happening as often as it used to happen, we still need to see people getting saved. This church and all the churches we establish in Brazil depend on people getting saved to fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus. So we want to see God's ministry being multiplied. We want to see the church being multiplied. But how can we see that happening? First of all, it is necessary to have compassion for people if we want to see the work of God growing in our midst. Do you love people? I'm not asking if you love cats and dogs. I've seen that families are spending a lot of money on their pets. And I have nothing against having pets. I have a German Shepherd, big. His name is Rainbow. He's mean. And he protects our house. He protects our family. He's a good friend. He's a good dog. And we do our best for Rainbow. When he is sick, we take him to the vet. We give him a bath. We give him food. He's a good dog. So I'm not saying that we should not like our pets, but our love must be reserved for people. Do we love people? Verse 14 says that Jesus was moved with compassion toward them. And this word compassion is a very strong word. It sounds strong, but it doesn't sound strong enough in English. The writers of the Bible believed that our internal organs were the throne of mercy and love within each one of us. So compassion is a feeling from the inside out. It is something that we feel inside ourselves, inside our bodies. And the feeling is so strong that compels us to action, leads us to action. So it is impossible to feel compassion for someone or for a situation and do nothing about it. If we want to see God doing miracles, we need to show Him that we care, that we have compassion for people and all kinds of people. Some time ago, I heard a pastor's wife saying that she would rather work with dogs than working with people. Now, I know people are complicated. I know people are hard to deal with. I know that. Because last time I checked, I was a part of the human being species. And I know I'm hard. But I told that pastor's wife that Jesus did not die for dogs. Jesus died for people. So we must care for people and we must love people. We must show compassion towards people. Now we love being in a church. We love being a part of a community. But one of the reasons that we are a part of a church is because we have the need for compassion. We have the need for other people caring for us. Just like this morning when we prayed for these dear people that are sick, that need our intercession, and they know that. They are sick at home, some of them at the hospital, but they know Pastor Todd probably prayed for us this morning. The church is in prayer for us. We have a need for compassion, don't we? And that's one of the reasons we are a part of a church. So compassion is everything. We must love not only one another, but we must love people that we don't know. People that we have never met before. Because compassion is the main stamp of the people of God. Jesus said that we would be known as His disciples by the kind of love that we have for one another. So, a loving church is going to be a growing church. When our visitors come inside the building, they are impressed with a lot of things. If I were a visitor here this morning, I would have been impressed with Pastor Todd and his brother playing the instruments. How many of you agree with me? It was beautiful to see those two brothers, and they look alike so much. And they were playing the instruments. Like, I'm sorry for saying this, like two professionals because they play well. I thought they were going to sing too, but they didn't do that. I would have been impressed with your pastor, with Brother Adam. I would be impressed with everybody here. But you know what impresses people the most when they come to our church? If we care for them. If we can show them we love them. If we can show them they are important to us. So compassion is not only important, but it is the main element when we want to grow the ministry of God, because people are the most important asset of a ministry. So we need to love people. I was here some years ago during the week, and I saw your students, you know, going to classes. And they were happy students, happy children. Why? Because they are in a happy place with happy teachers, an atmosphere full of love. And nothing can compete with real love. What a blessing. Not only to be able to love, but to be loved. And this is what a church is here for. To love people like God has loved us. Second, we want to grow the ministry. Then it is necessary to have confidence. Not on ourselves, but confidence in the power of God and the promises of our God. Here in this passage, when Jesus told the disciples, "We are going to feed the multitude. Give ye them to eat." Immediately, the disciples answered to Jesus, "There's no way." They said, in other words, "There's no food here. There's no money. And even if we had money, there's no place around where we can buy the food." Now, when Jesus says something, nobody could answer him back and say, "It is impossible." You never tell God that something is impossible, because nothing is impossible for God. So if Jesus had told me to feed 15,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread, rather than saying, "It is impossible," I would have crumbled the bread into 15 tiny thousand pieces and given them out to the people. That would have been my human solution. But the disciples, rather than having confidence, having faith, they told Jesus, "Send them away. Send them back home. Nobody told them to come here. Nobody invited them. They are not our problem." That's what they answered to Jesus. "Those people are not our problem." But Jesus did not agree with them. And Jesus said, "Give ye them to eat." Jesus is able. Jesus is capable. Let me say this to you. You can bring people to this church and be sure that they'll hear the word of God from this pulpit. You can bring your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, and be sure that they will receive a blessing from this church. We must have confidence. We must believe what we are doing. We must believe what we are saying, what we are telling people from God. And sometimes people are in the ministry, but they are in doubt. People are in the churches, but they are doubting the promises of God and the power of God. When we first moved to the Midwest of Brazil 20 years ago, just the 3 of us, Rochelle, my oldest, was just a baby. We spent our first Christmas alone in a city of 1,200,000 people. Now, my wife, she grew up with her family in São Paulo City and surrounded by friends and family members every Christmas. Now, for the first time, just the three of us. She came to me with tears coming down her face and she said, "What are we doing here? Nobody seems to need us. Nobody knows us in this city. What are we doing here?" And by faith, I hugged my wife and I said, "Rachel, I know that God has called us here. And because of that, soon, your feelings of loneliness will just be a memory." 1 year later, exactly 1 year later, we had 25 new converts in our house celebrating Christmas with us. Because for God, nothing is impossible. He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Yes, we cannot trust ourselves. We cannot depend on our education, on our diploma, on our own talents. But we can depend on His promises. We can depend on His presence. We can depend on His power. We can depend on His provision. We can depend on His word. And that's going to grow the ministry. That's going to take us forward in the ministry. Third, it is necessary to have cooperation. I have learned long time ago that the work of God is not the work of a man, but it is the work of a people. Nobody can do the work of God alone. Nobody. You can have the best pastor in the world, but he cannot accomplish the work of God alone. Think about missionaries. They come back home and they report their ministries and they show all the wonderful things that God is doing through them and for them. But you know what? They haven't done it alone. Behind those missionaries, there are Bible-believing churches like Grace Bible Church, praying for them and making their ministry possible. Now, when God created the world, He created the world out of nothing. But when it comes to missions, He likes to use the little we have and multiplies it. So He used 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish from a little boy, 12, 13 years of age. But that little boy surrendered his food to Jesus. And Jesus used it, multiplied it, and we saw what happened. Thousands and thousands of people were fed because of the willingness of that boy to help the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to give Jesus a hand. This is called cooperation, working together for the kingdom of God. Now, I believe that when Jesus asked the question, "What do we have? What can we do for these people?" That boy heard the question. And I think he had to stand up and he probably shouted, "I can help! I can help!" Remember, there was a multitude and he wanted to be heard. So I'm not surprised at his cry, but I'm surprised at the silence of the others, the disciples themselves, the religious leaders that were there, the rich people. Only a boy stood up and offered Jesus some help. Most of us are always waiting for somebody else to step up and do the work, right? But here we see a boy that was willing to sacrifice and was willing to help immediately, as soon as he learned about the need, or better yet, about the opportunity to be a blessing. He stood up and he volunteered himself. Cooperation is very important. We cannot go forward without cooperation. That means the work of God being done by the people of God together. Isn't that a blessing? And last of all, if we want to grow the ministry, it is necessary to have coordination. And a better word for that is organization. In Brazil, sometimes I get ready to preach, I'm behind the pulpit, and a visitor, someone that I don't know, comes to the platform and he tells me something like that. Pastor, the Holy Spirit told me to come here tonight and preach to your people. Now keep in mind that this is someone that I don't know. I don't know his denomination, his doctrines, his faith. I don't know him. Sometimes these people tell me that God, the Holy Spirit, told them to go to the church and prophesy to my people, or to sing a special, or to give a word of testimony. But again, these are people that I don't know. And I have to answer them, I'm sorry, but God, the Holy Spirit, forgot to tell me that you were coming. We don't do things like that, right? Because we know better. The work of God is not done by coincidence. The work of God is done by planning, organization. So we need to plan the work of God together to accomplish wonderful things for God. We want to see the work of God growing. We want to see more and more people being a part of the ministry. But then we need to do our part as a church. We need to have and show real compassion. We need to have confidence, not in ourselves, but in God. How do we do that? By praying and by working. Hudson Taylor used to say, we work as if everything depends on us. We go door-to-door visitation. We give out gospel tracts. We invite people. We disciple people. But we pray knowing that everything depends on God. We know that. But if we want to grow the ministry, we need to do our part. And our part here as a church is to have real compassion, confidence, work together, give a hand, participate, and be very organized. As soon as Jesus decided to feed those people, the Bible says that he told everybody to sit down in a row, and then the disciples were able to feed everybody. Organization is very important when we do the work of God, because all things must be done decently and in order. Well, to conclude this message, I want to recall that story of the crippled man who could not see Jesus. That crippled man was laying down on his bed, and he heard that Jesus was passing by. But he could not go to see Jesus because he was crippled. And even if he could walk a little, there was a multitude of people preventing him from reaching Jesus. But probably one man was passing by, the crippled guy, and he saw his situation, and he felt compassion. Compassion is a feeling from the inside out, and when you feel compassion, you do something about it. If you do not do anything about it, it was not compassion. It was just pity. And pity is not compassion. But he felt compassion, and he decided to help that man to see Jesus. But by himself, that was kind of hard, because there is a multitude in front of them. So he called another friend, and that friend came by and saw the situation of the crippled man, and he also felt compassion. And he said, yes, I'm willing to help this man to see Jesus. But the two of us, it's still kind of hard, because there is a multitude. in front of us. How can we take him and go through those people? Then they called a third friend and a fourth friend. And those four men together felt compassion. We need to do something about it. And they were confident. If we take him to Jesus, Jesus will do something for this man. That's confidence. That's faith. And then they also concluded, we need to work together to take this man to see Jesus. Just two or three of us will not be enough. But if the four of us get together, this is going to be possible. And finally, they planned. How can we take this man to Jesus? There is a ceiling. We can take him through the ceiling, down safely to the feet of Jesus. Yes, but if we destroy that ceiling, we have to pay for the ceiling. Or we have to go back and fix the ceiling. Are y'all willing to sacrifice, pay from your own pocket for that ceiling? Yes, I'll do my part. I'll do my part. So they had compassion, confidence. They cooperated together. They coordinated their actions. And when they arrived at the feet of Jesus with that crippled man, Jesus was impressed. Not with the crippled man, not with the situation of the crippled man, but Jesus was impressed with those four guys. And because of them, Jesus healed the crippled man. That's what we need to grow the ministry. We need people showing compassion, confidence, working together, planning the work of God, accomplishing the work of God together. And God will bless the ministry. God will bless the ministry. It's here in His Word. And His Word never comes back void. He will do it. Amen. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be a part of such a great ministry. Sometimes we take for granted that we are a part of a Bible-believing church, fundamentalist, a church that is very faithful to the Word of God, and a church that wants to represent God in this world. And we take for granted that we are in this church and our children are in this church. And yet, Father, there are so many people that need to have the same opportunities that we have. And we can really make this happen by following what is in the Bible, by having compassion for souls, by having confidence in the power of God, in His promises, in His ability to change lives, by working together, understanding that it's very hard to do the work of God alone. It's much easier and profitable when we do it together. And then, Father, by planning, because God will reward our efforts. So I pray that this morning the Holy Spirit has spoken to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah. Would you take your hymn books, please, and turn with me to 489. And both of the examples from the Word of God that we saw, in the example of the feeding of the 5,000, it was a boy who surrendered his lunch. That's where it all began, and God was able to work there. In the example of the crippled man, it was four men that surrendered their time, they surrendered their energies, they surrendered their income, whatever they needed to do to make sure that they got this man to Christ. I wonder this morning if there are some that need to come forward and surrender all to the Lord. Maybe that's the reason that you've not surrendered your life to go and serve Him. Maybe there's a teenager here or a young person that hasn't surrendered their life to full-time Christian service. And when I say that, don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean necessarily that they have to teach in a Christian school. Full-time Christian service is the life of a Christian. Everything that we do is service for Christ. And so I wonder if we have surrendered our time, if we just surrender enough time to come to church, surrender enough time to show up on Wednesday night. We need to surrender our all to the Lord. So all He has to do is speak and touch us and say, I need you to go do this. And there's a hearty, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. We live in a very selfish society, very self-centered, very about my personal fun, my entertainment, my life, my career, my this, my that. And God's in the business of surrender. You give all that to Him. And then God can use you for whatever purpose He needs you to be used for. And so I want us to stand together this morning as we sing 489, All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I, how do we give? Freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. Would you stand together as we sing? If the Lord's worked in your heart this morning through the preaching of the Word of God, we don't twist arms here at Grace Bible Church, but I do believe that God works in hearts and He provides opportunities to get things right where you can be used of the Lord. And so the altar here is open. If you want to come and pray, if you need someone to sit down with you, we'd be glad to take you aside and show you from God's Word. All to Jesus I surrender. Of each and every one of us here today. Lord, you know the specific need of each heart. And Lord, it was no accident that this message should be preached to us this morning. The Word of God does not go out inconsequentially. It doesn't go out by accident. There are those that need to surrender all to Thee. And I pray, Father, that Your Holy Spirit might be at work. Lord, we depend upon the power and the provision of the Holy Spirit to move hearts to Thee. And I pray, dear Father, that we would not let anything stand in our way of being used for Thee. There are young people here. There are teenagers here that are approaching the time of graduation from high school. And some of them have not come to face-to-face with this particular understanding that I must surrender all to Thee. They're still hanging on to their lives. They're still hanging on to some aspect of their life. They're just not willing to move 100% toward Thee. I pray that You'd work in their hearts. Maybe there is an adult here, and adults that may be here without an understanding of what they should do and how they should serve Thee. They're just randomly living their lives from week to week, going through the motions. Father, You've got a purpose for us. You've got a reason for us to be here. And so I pray, dear Father, that You might work in hearts and that You might pinpoint to our very fiber of our being, the area that we need to surrender unto Thee, that we might be used of Thee to be able to conduct service and be able to reach out to a lost and dying world and to be an example of the believers to those around us, whereby we can instruct others and be a blessing and help. Father, bless Your Word today. We thank You so much for bringing the Riberos to us today. We thank You, Father, for their dedication, for their consecration unto Thee, their desire to be a blessing wherever they go. And I pray that You might use them in a continuing fashion here in the States as they're on furlough. We pray that You would help them to raise the additional dollars that are needed to be able to conduct the ministry. We pray for the four ministries that have been planted by Brother Rahm and for the fifth, the desire to plant there. We pray that You might provide and that You might move hearts, Father, to give and to pray for that work. And we might see souls saved and folks trained up. And Father, help us here to be faithful to Thee. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.